Blog Talk Radio.
Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence.
I sense your presence.
And I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And in the presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I see aspiring to be free. When I call to thee and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Within and without, above and below, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. Without and within, below and above, yeah, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. I sense your presence.
Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Adonai Elohim Sabaoth. Alhamdulillah, Bismillah Rahman Rahim.
And in the presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I find in tune with the divine. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And when I call to thee and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. For to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Angel of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. I sense your presence.
Thank you for joining me here tonight on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and I'm your hostess tonight. The music you were listening to there at the beginning of the show is I Sense Your Presence. That's by Shemshai, a great little group that I originally met in the Sedona, Arizona area, now traveling around the world. And there's a link for them right at the bottom of the show description. Actually, you can track down some of their music at shemshai.com. And also they're on Facebook, and periodically they put out a little free music and things like that, so they're definitely worth following and staying on top of. And I want to extend a welcome back to those that are returning and welcome to those that are joining us here for the first time. We are now streaming live, by the way, in three additional places besides Block Talk Radio. We're there on TalkStream Live, StreamFinder, and PEN, or Prayer Encounters Network. And I welcome everybody that's listening through all of these channels. It's fantastic to have you with us. Now, here at Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I look at the different ways that compassion exists in our lives, how to remove our blocks, resistances, frustrations, and more. Some weeks I am discussing different aspects of how compassion is in our life, how it affects our life, the different areas of compassion, and some weeks I'm doing more exercises and practical implementations on the show, and then most of the time these days I've got some fantastic guests on the show, and that way you get a chance to learn about how other people's work works with compassion, how it complements it. Tonight's guest is a perfect example of that, PK Odell, and she's going to be with us a little bit later here in the show coming on. And also a lot of times I've got musical guests on the show. Last year there was Stephen Halpern, Peter Cater, both Grammy nominees and award winners for their music. Jill Mattson was on. Of course, Claire Hedin was on. So lots of good artists. I'm working on summing up a couple of more fantastic artists for you to come up this year as well. Now, in my own work, what I do is I focus on helping people find and use compassion in their everyday lives, and I've created things like the Genesis Clearing Statement. Some of you have experienced that on previous shows, and actually Kevin Baird, another one of our hosts, you can find in our archives where he interviewed me working with that statement, and that was a really great interview to give you a taste of what that's like. I've also authored four books, the two most recent being You, Me, Life, Dreams, and its companion workbook, which is based on relationships. And then the first two books that I put out, Activating Compassion and its companion workbook. In addition, I've created the Compassion Tour, a multi-state nationwide tour, including workshops, retreats, seminars, book signings, and fundraising events. And you can follow all of the events to that are available to register for on the Compassion Tour as well as other live events through jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And you're going to want to check those out because I actually just posted about 8 brand new events to cover this year for 2014. Just a reminder, by the way, if you enjoy the show this evening, make certain that you are telling your friends, family, you know, share it out there on the social media, because I find so many times when I share a show with somebody, it, almost always I have two or three people that come back and they're like, wow, that was exactly what I needed right now. So you never know whose day you're going to make or who you're going to help out by giving that little share in there. And they can come into the same link you use to get into the show, to our live show here, listen to it at their convenience. In addition, they can find it a couple of other places on my website, jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com. And just look for my name on the Main Street Universe tab. I've got all of my archived shows there. And also, they can get it as a podcast for free through iTunes, by the way. That's another avenue that we have available right now. And also, the show will be done into a YouTube version. So if they go onto my channel on YouTube, they'll be able to get a version there if they'd like as well. Now, before we get started, as those of you that have listened to the show before, you know that I like to delve into a cool little book called The 72 Names of God, Technology for the Soul, done by Kabbalah Master Yehuda Berg, and just get us a little message for the week and see what he has to say. It seems like it oftentimes always applies, and I see I've got a few people popping into the chat room here, so that's always fun, too. It's great to see everybody here starting to show up. And let's see, for this week, Yehuda's message is great expectations. This is very cool. Great expectations. And he gives this little blurb on it here, a little message. When you expect the world from your friends or your family or from life and they don't deliver, call upon this name for some answers. And the insight he gives about this is, why do most positive actions often go unrewarded for long periods of time? Kabbalah teaches that this is to allow a space for our free will to shine forth. Within this space, great expectations creep in to challenge us. Tests of faith confront us. We expect a quick return on our spiritual investments, but when time delays it, we become doubtful, deeply disappointed, hopeless, and helpless. But we have free will to rise above these clouds of gloom and doom. By exercising this free will, we can truly earn our good fortune. Sometimes, of course, this can be an extremely difficult task. A great expectation is a formidable adversary. The key to fulfillment is to simply shift our concentration away from results and expectations. Instead, we focus upon resisting our own impulsive reactions, which are nothing more than robotic responses to a given situation. In the moment that we resist expectation, we have exercised the sacred trait of free will. The ego is no longer in control. We are, and that opens wide the door to all possibilities. And this is really, I think, exciting, because I think sometimes we do fall into these little traps of feeling hopeless and helpless and things like that, and realizing that, good fortune is really about changing up that energy, and that's something that we're going to be talking about tonight. Now, the meditation he gives with this is, by meditating on this name, you gain control over the power of time in your life. Instead of constantly demanding more of tomorrow, you appreciate what you have and what you are right now. False and self-seeking expectations are cast out. And again, this name of God is Great Expectations. It's pronounced Aleph Yud Ayin. Aleph Yud Ayin. And this is really great. This message by Yehuda goes up on my website. It'll be up shortly after the show because I go in and put it up, and it'll be available for the whole week. If you'd like to go back and reflect on that message, you'll definitely have it there. Now, a little something here as we lead up into bringing our guest on tonight, a little something for us to think about before we head off on break. And this will kind of just get us focused for our topic this evening. Does it really make a difference which direction you face when you're sitting down? Can putting a certain color on the walls or giving your child a certain room in the house affect their behavior? Does the way you position your bed influence how well you sleep at night, your health, and how well your marriage or relationship does? Feng Shui is truly an ancient art. There are certainly some varying thoughts and forms of it that have developed in Eastern and Western cultures throughout the years. Many Asian countries will place a very high emphasis on following this practice. Identifying the pros and cons of space and what can be done with it versus what is best to walk away from. Many are familiar with the waving cats if they've ever dined in a restaurant of any kind of Asian cuisine, or perhaps the lucky bamboo plant, or even heard about keeping a fountain near the front door. However, more than just what goes into the space is the space itself. In this practice, it is believed that how things are positioned affects the flow of energy. Every area of life is considered to be influenced by the layout of the home and property. P.K. Odal is not only a highly recognized practitioner and owner of her own company in Feng Shui, but has also created her own guides for helping people learn how to work with these principles based on ancient techniques known to only about 5% of those in this field. Her company, Feng Shui Advantage, is designed to help people create advantages in their life so that they may know life's blessings instead of disappointments. She helps people become aware of the blessings and challenges that their space holds and how to work with it. While some may look to this for personal gain, I see this ancient practice as another means of being conscious. And we think about taking care of ourselves, others, the universe, yet oftentimes neglect our very own space. This is like the carpenter whose own house is in need of major repairs, or the landscape designer that has an unkept yard and weeds everywhere, or the fashion designer that doesn't put themselves together. We spend at least one-third, and usually more, of our lives in our home environment. Anything or anyone that you spend that much time with is going to be deeply infiltrated into your energy sphere. Being in or connected to something this much will infiltrate into all areas of our life, making feng shui of great importance in providing compassion to ourselves, others, and the universe. What happens in your own home is reflected in all areas of your life. Are you ready to increase the blessings in your life? Would you make a couple of adjustments in order to have peace of mind and increase the strength of divine connection? Are you willing to let your environment work with you instead of against you as a true partner? This week, our guest focuses on a component of compassion that is related to the aspects in my book of No More Pain. This reminds us that it is important to keep a balance in our lives and to do the things that help to keep us healthy and provide us with strong rest, time to play, and helps us open the doors to our success. I'm going to take a short break, and when we return, I will have PK Odal with us, and she's going to be sharing her work in helping people learn about and develop their environment in a way that creates chi and flow and hopefully many other wonderful things in your life. The song that I have for you during our break tonight is called Dreaming with Wings. It's by Claire Hedin, and again, her website is there at the bottom of the show description, www.clairehedin.com. That's CLAREHEDIN.com. And we'll be back in just a few minutes. Talking, talking. Listening to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, and my name is Jessie Ann Nichols George. I am your hostess this evening, and you were just listening to a song by Claire Hedin called Dreaming, and Dreaming with Wings, that is, also known as Freedom, Freedom. You can also find out more about her work at www.clairehedin.com. That's C-L-A-R-E-H-E-D-I-N.com. And again, I'd like to also extend a welcome to those of us listening through the additional channels outside of Blog Talk Radio, which includes TalkStream Live, StreamFinder, and PEN or Pair Encounters Network. It's great to have people listening in from all of these different areas. Now, I would like to bring on my guest tonight, PK Odal, and she is the executive director of the world-renowned American Feng Shui Institute and a sought-after classical Yi Jing Feng Shui consultant, speaker, author, and publisher of the Feng Shui Advantage Monthly. She founded her own consulting firm, the Feng Shui Advantage, and that was done in 1997, and specializes in working with solopreneurs. PK has just been featured in several national magazines, local newspapers, radio and television programs. Her primary goal is educating people on the science and benefits of classical feng shui. PK has also created Lifetime Keys Personal Direction Self-Mastery Toolbox, a step-by-step system that teaches you how to locate and manage your precise 15-degree personal directions, which less than 5% of feng shui professionals are able to determine. They assist you in learning your magnetic directions so that you know which ones support you and which ones sabotage you. And we look at her knowledge tonight in feng shui and what we should do to take into consideration during this year of the horse, which we are just entering into actually today. So you can learn more about her work, by the way, at www.fengshuiadvantage.com. That is at the bottom of the show description as well tonight. And I just want to go ahead and say, PK, your mic has opened up, and welcome to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour.
Thanks, Jessie. Nice to be here.
It's such a pleasure to have you giving us your time this evening, and you certainly have an incredible list of accomplishments and are right in there in that unique small percentage out of all the feng shui practitioners out there. So it's very exciting to have you here. And I would love to actually have you start off with sharing a little bit about your story and sharing with our listeners a little bit about who you are and how did you get into this journey of working with feng shui and developing this up into this particular area of it?
Well, Jessie, all my life I had wanted to find a career, some way that I could be of service to people and really truly help them change their lives. So I went along my life earning a living doing many different careers. My last one was a travel agent, where I made sure the businessman got there on time for his meeting and had everything he needed. But then I was working as the on-site travel agent for LA Gear, and they moved from three buildings in Marina Del Rey, California, to one building by the Santa Monica, California airport. When they made that move, they didn't know it, and neither did I, but the building they moved into had a major feng shui problem that actually caused LA Gear within the 3 years that they were there to downsize to the point of just selling their name to some people who wanted to buy it for licensing purposes. They stopped inventing shoes and producing and distributing their own shoes. So they took me out of my private office at LA Gear, put me in a reservation center doing the same work in a different environment. It was very chaotic, and within 2 months, every day I was going home thinking, I'm not going back there, I'm not going back there. One of my fellow employees there handed me a flyer for a bookstore, and I don't know why she was handing it to me, because the first thing I saw was a Chinese man's face, and I read the word feng shui for the first time. I probably mispronounced it, feng shui or something like that. And I saw his name. It was Master Larry Tsang, and the book, The Principles of Feng Shui, which is the textbook for the American Feng Shui Institute. And he was going to be speaking that night, and it said, learn how your environment affects your entire life. I looked around the room at my new environment for working, and I said, I have to meet this man. Luckily, it was that Friday night. I went that Friday night. I met him. I still have my autographed copy, which I went home and devoured all day Saturday, and by early Sunday afternoon, I'd done the limited amount of remedies I could for that level of information. And by Monday afternoon, I got a call from the person who had actually hired me to work at the LA Gear travel department, and he was now president of another travel agency. He said, PK, I understand you're not real happy working in the reservation center. I said, Randy, you know I'm not. And he said, well, would you like to be recommended for the on-site at Creative Artist Agency? And I thought, oh, does it have a private office? Because I didn't want to be stuck in another cubicle. He said, yes, in their own building in Beverly Hills. And I went, oh, my, is parking included then? That's how much I knew about who Creative Artist Agency was. He said, PK, yes, in their own building. They are one of the talent agencies in the world, PK, and you would be working for all these high-powered Hollywood talent agents. And I went, oh, okay, recommend me. And I went on the interviews that week, and by Friday of that week, less than one full week from when I met Master Tsang, I was giving my notice to take the job. When I found out that was the fastest anyone had been ever hired for that job, I picked up the principles of feng shui, and I said, I have to study this. So for the next 11 months, I studied the book. I started taking classes at the Institute. I started practicing on my friends. And 11 months later, I'm figuring out, how can I get out of here? Because my heart is not in travel anymore. I can make a bigger difference in people's lives by doing feng shui for them. Mm. And that's how it all started.
Oh, my goodness. That's and I'm familiar with Creative Artist Agency and a few others, having grown up in the L.A. area. No small names there, that's for sure. And I think that's incredible. And your journey into this is, I think, a lot of times maybe the more common way that people come into things. They don't always know what they want to do. Something gets handed to them, and it's a matter of paying attention to that sign or that message that comes to us and following through on that. And you gave it a perfect example and trying through all of that. So I think that's encouraging for a lot of people that are out there now, because I think a lot of people are kind of going, well, what should I be doing and things. But I personally love feng shui. I think that it's such a powerful tool that is not even barely used in most people's lives.
That flyer that was handed to me was one of the best blessings in my entire life, because I had the opportunity to meet one of the top feng shui masters in the entire world and be able to choose to study with him and only him, because his knowledge goes deeper than all of the others combined. It's kind of like you can spread out and study a little bit of different types of things, and just scratch the surface on any subject by studying with many teachers. And when I saw the depth of his knowledge, I decided right then that I was going to go deep into his well of knowledge and not spread myself thin with studying other methodologies of feng shui, which don't have the 5,000-year history. What he teaches, and I teach for him now at the American Feng Shui Institute, is the Chinese science of feng shui. It is actually called I Ching feng shui. Some people spell it I-C-H-I-N-G, like the century, like the books we've seen for many decades talking about the I Ching. But the new pinyin Chinese spelling of it is Y-I and then separate word J-I-N-G. Either way, it's still the I Ching. It's the basis of feng shui and acupuncture. And when you study feng shui on the scientific method, that's the kind of feng shui that you're studying.
That's really interesting. I'm glad that you brought that out, because I knew that there were several different ones out there. I was going to say that, you know, are there more than different ones and different types of feng shui out there, which you're kind of alluding to? And my experience is there's several different formats, and you don't want to mix them.
Exactly. You don't want to mix them. It's kind of like trying to be in a rowboat and a speedboat at the same time. Actually, the Chinese government, when they decided they wanted help with the Beijing Olympic sites, and they could choose anyone to give them architectural advice, they chose Master Sang to come and do that. They called him an architectural advisor because there are still people from the Mao regime in China that would be called Maoist, and they believed what Chairman Mao said when he outlawed feng shui in the 1950s during the Cultural Revolution. When he took power, he outlawed feng shui, a lot of different healing methods, and all the methods of making homemade weapons, from bows to knives to anything like that. He outlawed all of that. The main reason he outlawed feng shui was because his family were feng shui masters, and they knew if there was any other people with that knowledge in China that they could use it to overthrow them. So Mao outlawed it and claimed it was just superstition, which is why so many of the feng shui methods you're hearing now are just folk beliefs around the ancient science. It was only the few feng shui masters that knew the ancient science that escaped and took the knowledge with them. And Master Sang, who I teach for, we can trace his family's feng shui lineage back to 907 A.D., when it was first able to come out of the emperor's rule, because feng shui actually started in the emperor's palace. The first one, feng shui master, is a very interesting story. He was able to help the Chinese people come down off the mountains after 40 years of floods. They were stuck on the mountaintops because the waters would not recede, and he figured out a way to dredge the rivers and redirect them. So they asked him to be emperor after that. So he took it very seriously and started studying the laws of nature and how things happened and how one house the people would do better in it than in another house. And he started studying many things, and many things were revealed to him through Mother Nature. And that's where feng shui started. So it was kept as a tool for the emperor. He would have his right-hand advisor would be the feng shui master, and his left hand, or I'm not sure if it was right or left, but would be the other hand would be the warlord that would teach him, because sometimes the emperor was a young child, so he would have to have these advisors. So he'd have a warlord on one side and the feng shui person on the other side to help him stay in power and to help his rule be prosperous. And it wasn't until 907 A.D. during an uprising called the Yellow Bandits Rebellion that the feng shui master at the time that was the advisor to the emperor actually escaped and lived in hiding, because if he was caught, he could be put to death or at the easiest, in prison for life. But he lived in hiding, married, raised children, taught his sons and daughters, and chose one apprentice. The apprentice that he chose was the ancestor to the feng shui master I teach for Master Larry Sang. So that's when I heard that, I knew I wanted to go deep into his well of knowledge.
That is fascinating, and I think out of all the different things I've looked into with feng shui, I don't think I've had that piece of history And so I greatly appreciate you sharing that in there. And it's interesting to see that the roots of it are actually very nature-based because, you know, I mean, I know that we've had the different elements that they've worked with and things like that for feng shui, but didn't realize how nature-based it was and how connected it was to that in there. So that I greatly appreciate that insight on there. Maybe you can share a little bit about what feng shui can do for people, you know, and how does this feng shui stuff really affect their lives. You gave one example, and I have a friend actually in the L.A. area who does aquariums for, well, very major aquariums being put into to noted people's houses, and I was talking with him about this one day, and we were discussing this aquarium where somebody insisted on having it in a certain spot, and he kept saying, I don't think that feels right. I just don't think it feels right there. And the person insisted on having it there, and it was, you know, kind of like the company that you had mentioned, was it Nike, I think it was?
LA.
Okay.
LA, because they went out of business, not Nike.
Not Nike, but yeah, I'm sorry about that. But a similar situation where they were, making a product, and it just tanked right after kind of going into a different place and putting a aquarium in a spot that he knew it wasn't a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
And they had him shift it, and it shifted the business again. So, but maybe you can give a little more insight about how it, you know, what it does for people and other ways.
Well, water is one of the most used feng shui remedies, and the water has to actually be out where the air currents can come in contact with it, because the air currents are what moves the chi that's all around us. We have chi around us. That is it's the life force energy of the universe. It's in us. It's all around us. And air moves it and water moves it, which is why the science that works with the energies in your home is called feng shui, which literally in Chinese is the words wind and water, because they move the chi that's all around us. If a aquarium is all sealed up in a beautiful cabinet and very little of that water ever touches the air currents, it's really not even acting as a water remedy. It's more like water inside of a water heater or a water bed or a water cooler. The water has to be where the air currents can get to it, and all the remedies have to be where the air currents can come in contact with it to actually affect the energies that already exist in the space. From the moment a building is built, when the four walls go up and the roof goes on, there's an energy combination that's created in that building. It's kind of like the building's DNA. There's an energy in the nine different parts of it. We take a building and we divide the width by three and the depth by three in each floor of the building, and or each unit. If it's an apartment building or an office building and they're broken into separate units, whatever is your private area behind your key, that's considered one unit. It's kind of like slicing a magnet up. You still have the magnetic plus and minus and positive and negative ends to the magnet. So whether it's a freestanding home or office or it's a piece of another building, it has its own energy in there. And those energies are divided into nine spaces. We call them palaces in feng shui, or you can call them sections. You divide the width by three and the depth by three, and each one of those nine sections, there's an energy that's affecting your health and relationships. So, and then another one that affects your finances and career, which blows out the myth that there's a wealth corner in the same direction for everybody or a relationship corner in the same place for everybody. And definitely last year, well, actually we have four more days of it, of 2013, because in feng shui, the year doesn't start until February 4th. So today is the Chinese Lunar New Year. And on February 4th, we have the Chinese Solar New Year, which is actually, when you talk to astrologers, it's interesting to them, it's the halfway point between the winter solstice and the spring equinox. In our farmer's almanacs, they call it the spring establishment or spring stand. That's when the farmers start preparing the crops for the spring planting. And that's when the feng shui energies have the annual energy comes in and shifts. So we have the energy that relates to your health and relationships, one that relates to your finances and career, and then the third major energy in there, and we have some other minor ones, but the third major energy in there is the annual one, which is the strongest because it's only there for 1 year. It's like getting a new relative coming to live with you for 1 year. That can disrupt the harmony in a home. Well, having the energies change in your home that way on February 4th every year is why 1 year can be better or worse in the same building with the same decor, the same people. You're using the same entrances. Nothing has changed except this annual energy that you can't see how it's affecting the what we call the people and the money energies. These energy blueprint or the DNA of the building is why one building in everybody's neighborhood, everybody has one. It's either a restaurant or a retail store that every 6 months to a year, depending on when the lease runs out, it's another business in there because people just can't make money there unless they do some major feng shui remedies. And those remedies would have to be done outside. So in a lot of commercial areas, you don't have the option to do certain remedies outside. I had a client in Nevada recently looking for a new space, and she had it written into her lease that she could put a large water feature in a certain position outside of the unit that she was about to lease. Otherwise, she wasn't going to lease it because she knew she couldn't make money without doing that. So it depends on the building where you want to put water outside. During this 20-year time period, though, until February 4th, 2024, anyone can put water outside in the east or the southwest to enhance money. That's not to fix the energies of the house, but that is to enhance money for the occupants of the building. And when I say house, I'm referring to whether it's a condo or a freestanding home or a office building or a freestanding store or anything like that. In feng shui, we refer to every building as a house. So those energies are why we use the five elements inside to manage those. So this year, if people read the do-it-yourself books and they put red roses in the southwest for romance, then they caused or they contributed to stomach, abdominal, and digestive problems because this year until 4 days from now on the 4th, fire colors in the southwest would cause anyone stomach, abdominal, digestive, reproductive, even miscarriage-type problems. So in 2013, the southwest is the area where nobody would want to have fire colors. And in 2014, starting on the 4th, it would be the east. So nobody should want to have should have fire colors in the east portion if you divide your house into the nine sections in this year, because that's where the annual energy is headed that will cause the stomach, abdominal, digestive organ problems. The northwest this year, if they have starting February 4th, if they have fire colors in there during 2014, they will cause accidents, delays, pain, and illness. It could be major illnesses. It could be delays in people hiring you, you completing a project, or you getting paid for a project. Or it could just be delays that lead to clutter around your house. And clutter, from your date of birth, there's a direction where you never want to have clutter, according to your trigram that you're born into from the I Ching. So anybody on the call or anybody that listens to a recording of the call can send me an email with the word trigram, T-R-I-G-R-A-M, in the subject line, with just your first name, your gender, because it matters if you're a boy or a girl, and your date of birth. I need the full date of birth. I won't tell anybody. It needs to have the month, the day, and the year so I can tell you what your trigram is, what direction you need to keep clean and neat and uncluttered to avoid financial setbacks for you personally, health problems for you, or relationship problems. And send that to pk@fengshuiadvantage.com. So it's pk at the website you see at the bottom of the screen. And I will send that back to you right away by email, along with what colors support your trigram, because every trigram relates to an element. So what color supports your trigram for your wardrobe, not your decor, because your decor is dependent on what's the energy combination there. So what element do you need there to neutralize something negative or to maximize something that's positive for you? However, in this time period, again, this is the 20-year cyclical. There are two cyclical time periods in feng shui, 20 years and annual. So the 20-year time period we're in right now, until February 4th, 2024, everyone and I mean everyone on the planet, their northeast section inside and their northwest section inside, both of them actually inside and outside in those directions, needs to be kept clean and neat and uncluttered to prevent the same problems for anybody in the structure. So that would prevent financial setbacks, health problems, relationship problems. So those are the most important places to clean up the clutter. Now, what happens if you have a family of four? Well, you may have six directions, depending on the people's trigrams, that you need to keep clean and neat and uncluttered. But it's very important. For instance, if anyone on the call or listening has clutter in their northeast, inside or out, even if it's a detached garage in the northeast, that can cause specific problems in relationships of children being disobedient. If it's in the northeast, it can cause health problems with your bones. You keep getting bone injuries or you have arthritis or something that affects your bones in a negative way. So those are some tips for everybody that they can use. And the remedies on the inside would be the five elements. So a feng shui consultant that looks at the energy blueprint and looks at the annual influence would tell you where to put fire colors to enhance something and to stop something bad from happening. And the fire colors are any shades of red, purple, and some bright oranges. The brighter they are, the more powerful. But I've seen little girls with pink and purple bedrooms, pink and lavender bedrooms, and when I tell the mother, you need to get the fire colors out of here because she's experiencing stomach problems, tummy aches all the time, and they said, how'd you know that? Because they hadn't told me. If you need water, we talked about earlier, it could be a fish tank, or if you don't want that responsibility, it could be a good fountain. The fountain needs to hold at least a quart and a half of water or larger and not have any rocks in it, because rocks are what Mother Nature uses to make a dam that blocks water. It actually they take up the space where the water should go. So if someone has a bowl full of rocks and a teacup of water in there, you have more earth there than water. If you do need earth as a remedy, you can use any of the healing stones you might like, or you can use a concrete statue. And it doesn't matter if that statue is a beagle, a bunny, a Buddha. Doesn't matter if it's concrete or marble, whatever goes with your decor. So you get compliments on your feng shui remedies, how they blend with your decor and complement it instead of questions, why did you put that over there? If you need a wood in an area, live plants are better. It's the green leaves that are the part that are the remedies, because the green leaves actually take up the water and then give us oxygen back. If you can't keep your plants alive, get rid of dead or dying plants and flowers. It's better to have silk flowers with lots of green leaves or use a lot of the color green. When it comes to fire, we always use the color as an alternative. I never, ever tell anybody to burn anything for fire colors because that's just dangerous. Now, in some decors, you could use a lamp with a red shade on it or with a red bulb in it as the fire remedy. But in most decors, people do it with like a throw on the end of the bed or on the end of the sofa or a rug or curtains or something like that. And when it comes to see, I talked about earth, I talked about wood, I talked about fire and water and metal. Metal is the most used remedy. And the reason why people get confused about mirrors is 5,000 years ago when feng shui started, the only way you had a mirror in your home was a thick piece of highly polished metal. So when the ancient feng shui master did his calculations, he used his, if everybody will imagine doing the Boy Scout thing where you hold your pinky down with your thumb and hold up all your other fingers straight, and you look at the backside of your fingers, you'll see nine sections there between where the creases of your knuckles are. That's where the feng shui master would do his calculations up inside his, with his hand up inside his great big sleeve where no one could see that he was doing calculations. And he would simply say, put water there. That's where they'd carry their buckets of water in from the well and have that in their home. He might say, put fire there. Well, if they were building their home, that's where they'd build the fireplace where they usually cooked all their meals all day long. And heated their homes with it. And he might say, hang a mirror there, pointing to a wall. Well, that is where they would put a thick piece of highly polished metal. Today, our mirrors have no more metal than a soda can. So we don't use mirrors as remedies in feng shui anymore, except if you have a very dark space that you need to make lighter or you want to make a room look larger. However, bedrooms are the worst place to put large mirrors, because they will reflect the light, and light is the yang, active side of the energy. And the active energy is not where we want to rest. We want to rest where the energy is more yin and still. So that's the first reason you don't want large mirrors in your bedroom, because they reflect both natural and artificial light, which still bounces off and makes the room very yang. And we want our bedrooms to be more yin. The other thing is, Jesse spoke earlier about the 15-degree feng shui personal directions. We all have one that's called our lonely pillow. And unless you prefer to sleep by yourself, married or not, you don't want to have a mirror hanging in your lonely pillow, because it will prevent you from sleeping with you the one you want to be sleeping with. So I have many clients that something is triggering their lonely pillow, but they prefer to sleep in separate bedrooms, so they have happy marriages. But the majority of clients with the lonely pillow, I've seen people get divorced. I had one client, their house was actually oriented in the lonely pillow direction for the husband, and five nights a week he slept at his work and was only home two nights a week with his wife and three small children. So they had a happy marriage, but he wasn't home. When they moved, they used the diagram I gave them for both the husband and the wife. They didn't have to use the children's diagram because it doesn't matter for the children until they're of marrying age. So they used that to look at each house according to the magnetic direction of the house to see if anything was going to trigger their lonely pillow before they even called me and asked me about the energy combination to see if they could prosper there or if there were remedies that maybe they couldn't do there. So that's how I'm going to take a break and let you guys ask questions, because I could go on talking like I was getting.
I'm absorbing this in, because even with what I've studied, you know, what you're bringing in are different aspects than what most people get access to, because most people have heard, oh, you got to use a mirror, you got to have fountains, and you got to put this in, but they haven't been told things like about rocks or things like that. We get a lot of fountain structures outside, for example, that are surrounded by lots of rocks.
The more rocks you put around your outside fountains or even inside, the more water you have to put there. So when I'm telling a client they need a 300-gallon fountain somewhere and they decide to make it a pond, I tell them the more real rocks you use, the larger you need to make the pond. So if you can get your hands on faux rocks made out of fiberglass, that's better.
She may be switching phones or something with us. There you are. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so, I mean, you can have a large deal and have some rocks around it, but it's got to be a pretty large feature is what you're saying.
Or it has to do with the size of the house. So there's one particular – some remedies, like the water outside in the east or the southwest to enhance your house, depends on the size of your house. Maybe for a 1,000-square-feet apartment, 20 gallons is enough. But there's another remedy that has to be more like 50 gallons per 1,000-square-feet, and it has to be in a certain place for the house, and it's not necessarily east or southwest. So those have to do with what's the – energy combination of the house. What's the energy blueprint? We call them the house type. There are four house types. One house type is great for people and money, and then it goes all the way to the house type that's bad for both. So one's good for people, one's good for money, and then one that goes all the way to being bad for both. So depending on the kind of house type you have will tell us what kind of large remedies you need outside to balance that. And then you still put the remedies inside in the nine sections of the house. And if one of your nine sections is half in one room and half in another room, and say both of those rooms are bedrooms, or one's a bedroom, one's an office, you have to put the remedy in both rooms in that portion of the house to be able to fix the energy in both separate rooms. Because if there's a wall between them, it won't work in both rooms. The other worst piece of feng shui advice I hear people following is painting your door red or choosing between blue and black. Those are the two extreme elements, the fire and the water. And if it's not bad for your house all the time, at least with fire-colored door, at least 2 out of 9 years it's going to bring the family problems, and I'm talking major problems. And at least 1 out of 9 years, a blue or a black door will bring gossip, arguments, and legal problems to the house. And that's because of the annual energy shifting around. So I never tell a client to paint their door red or black. A nice neutral color, or better yet, a nice, beautiful wood grain door is better.
Interesting. And these are just incredible tips that you're sharing with us, because, again, I think that a lot of what you're sharing here is a little bit different than some of the things that I've heard for different things, because I've heard things, oh, use a mirror to enhance the cash register, use a mirror in the dining area to expand your wealth, or, you know,
put a mirror on the backside of your stove so it looks like you have more food. I've heard all of those, but none of those are true feng shui. I Ching feng shui. I mean, there are many. I mean, there's many different methods of feng shui. This is a very eye-opening story for everyone. One of my fellow instructors was at a cocktail party, and a lady came straight across the room. He says, I could see her watching me, coming straight over me. We call it in Texas making a beeline towards me. So he said she was just coming straight at me, and she came up. She goes, hi, I hear you do feng shui. And he says, yes, I do. And she goes, well, I'm going to write a book on it. And he goes, congratulations. Who have you studied with? He told us she looked like a deer in headlights, because he studied. My book agent got me the deal. I'm going to read a few and put my own take on it. And unfortunately, that's what the average consumer is getting.
Yikes. And unfortunately, I would agree with you. There's a lot of people out there that do that, and that's a great example of the difference between where your work is coming from versus where a lot of the work is coming from. And we have to keep in mind that while there are definitely people who out there are very well versed in their feng shui and have some great foundations out there, there's a lot of people out there that are simply trying to sell you things. Sell you
any feng shui
different trinkets and fixes and things like that.
Yeah, a feng shui person that practices classical or traditional feng shui will not sell you remedies. They will tell you need this element here, and maybe they'll help guide you on how you can implement it, brainstorm with you. For my clients, I have a store on Amazon where I show them pictures. If they want to buy it from there, great. If they want to shop around, great. But I show them objects that could work for fire colors or metal objects that they could hang on the wall or place in their room. But it all has to be blend with your decor. If you want art deco or French provincial or minimalistic in your house, you can still do the feng shui remedies. One of the top international interior designers, Barbara Barry, has been a client of mine for years. She's acknowledged me in public, so I can, you know, mention her name. I don't mention names of my celebrity clients unless they have acknowledged me in public. So, because confidentiality is important. I have a lot of people that I meet networking in the L.A. area face-to-face, and when I feng shui their homes, they know that I'm not ever going to talk to anyone about their home or what I found when I was there. People will say, oh, I need to get rid of my clutter before I get you into my house. And I said, maybe it's the feng shui that's causing the clutter. I had one client. She was a very learned lady, a doctor of a kind. I won't say what kind, but I went into her home and I could not see her floor anywhere. There were piles everywhere coming up, some of them up to above my knee, and I couldn't see her flooring. Luckily, she had her floor plan, so she gave me her floor plan. I analyzed everything, and she had the energy of delays at both her entrance and her bedroom, and that's why she would come home and just not have the energy to do anything. When she put all the remedies in, especially those two, she called me at the end of the week. She goes, I'm so excited. I'm getting rid of things every day. And within a few months, about 3 months, she called me. Goes, I'm ready to remodel now. Come over here. Let's work up the plans for the remodel. So that's the changes that can happen for someone.
And see, these are the things that are so amazing to me with feng shui. That it can just be mind-blowing, that so many times we're sitting there and we're suffering and we're having struggles and we don't even need to be. It could be something that's a couple of quick, simple fixes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those quick, simple fixes could just make all the difference in the world. And they might even just be adjusting something or shifting something or something as simple as that. Now,
Actually, that reminds me of an article I wrote, The Catch-22 of Feng Shui, because the people who need the feng shui the most are the ones that are usually dealing with difficult finances. They're like, where am I going to get the money to have a true consultation done? So I actually, if anyone wants to see any of my past articles, including one talking about if you wouldn't trust the do-it-yourself acupuncture book, why would you trust do-it-yourself feng shui, and why having the door red is bad, and many articles like that, go to my website and click newsletter on the left-hand side, and then near the top on the right, it'll say article library, and they're all listed there, and they're welcome to read any of them they like.
Yeah, I think that that is so important, and you talked about house types, and you mentioned on that a little bit, and I know there's also the personal directions, the four pillars. What makes these things so important, and what should somebody maybe be looking for in regards to that?
Well, the trigram information that I will send anyone by email will give them their four best sleeping directions, and that's which way the top of their head, their crown, is pointing when they lay down. Two of those are also good to have behind your back for support when you're working, so you get more support from Mother Nature according to your trigram. Babies will naturally turn in the crib as soon as they're old enough. They will start turning to their best sleeping direction, the direction that can make them have the most restful night's sleep. And the mom comes in and goes, why are you always turned with your head to the side in the morning? They don't understand. And I've seen children up to like 7 and 8 years old turning in the bed, and the mother couldn't understand it. And then when we repositioned to the bed into at least one of the four good directions for the child, they stopped turning at an odd angle in their bed because they were now being supported by the direction they slept. Now, sometimes a husband and a wife's directions are opposite each other. The four that are good for the wife might be bad for the husband, so we do a compromise. We look at which way the building is oriented, and one of them will be supported by that direction, so then we want to do everything possible to get the bed in one of the directions that supports the other person. So one will be supported by the house orientation, and one will be supported by the bed's orientation.
Interesting.
Yes.
And the 15 direction,
I did talk about one of the 15-degree directions, the lonely pillow. But you also have a 15-degree direction will help you get more romantic partners to choose from if you're in that mode, if that's what you're looking for. And that direction, from your date of birth, we tell you what color vase or vase, depending on the price of it. I heard that it's called a vase if it's expensive. And what color vase with what color fresh-cut flowers, they must be fresh and they must be cut, in clean water in a certain direction from the center of your magnetic center of your bedroom or your bedroom suite, or if you live alone, it can be from the magnetic center of the house. And then you get more and more romantic partners to choose from. No matter what kind you're looking to choose, it just gives you more to choose from. But you still have to choose carefully, because I can guarantee more to choose from with the flowers. I just can't guarantee the quality that will cross your path. And you still have to choose which one you want in your life.
Wow, it's fascinating as you delve into all of these things, and I know there's so many different pieces there that we
well,
can.
There's an article on the page that talks about, I think it's the article that's the one starts out with how the 21st century technology. That one talks about how I can do remote consulting anywhere in the English speaking world, because my only drawback that I have is that English is my first and main language, and so that's the only one I'm fluent enough in that I feel comfortable doing consulting. And then it talks about how I can work with anybody in the world as long as they can send me the exact floor plan, which I can send them directions on how to make it. It also lists all the 15-degree directions and how they're affecting your life, such as your romance direction, your lonely pillow direction. We also have... Oh, this is great. We also have a direction that supports our right brain for our creativity, which I'm sitting in right now for me, for my date of birth, and our left brain for our analytical work. Because if I was sitting the opposite direction, I'd be very dry and not interesting, because I would be thinking all analytical and facts and figures, not so much creative, trying to explain this so everyone can understand it. So if someone, say, studying a script for a part, they want to sit in their creative direction, or are they writing a script or a play or a book or something? You sit in your creative direction, but turn around to your intellect direction just to get the editing job done. Because if you try and edit in your creative direction, you'll just get write it over and over and over again and never be complete the project. If you're working on your bookkeeping or your taxes, you want to use your intellect direction. Or if you're reading that contract that you get for the book you wrote, you want to do that from your intellect direction. We also have directions that are our prosperous and our consuming direction. Most people's, they're two different directions. For a few, unfortunate few, they're the same direction. And it's 15 degrees on the compass. So from the magnetic center of your house, if your door is in that 15-degree direction, then if it's your prosperous, it brings you more money. If it's your consuming, it makes you spend money all the time. So if you have a consuming door, you either have to keep it closed or learn to spend like the rich dad in the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So you're spending money to make money. Because if you just try and have your money in a savings account, expenses will continually drain that savings account, whether they be extravagant spending or uncontrollable expenses. We also have what's called our prosperous and our consuming years. So when someone has a consultation with me, I tell them what year they'll be more prosperous, what year they'll end up spending more money. When they get their annual update, because that's what I'm busiest with right now is doing annual updates for my clients that want to adjust their remedies 4 days from now, I tell them who's going to be consuming this year. So anybody listening to this, in 2014, starting on February 4th to February 4th of the next year, all the rat people should watch. If you were born in the year of the rat, and when you look at what year you were born, if you were born February 3rd or before, you count as the year before. But if you were born in the year of the rat, this is the year that you need to watch your spending. Spend like Rich Dad if you must spend, or pay off credit cards so you don't have, you're cutting back on interest there, or put your money in IRAs and CDs so you have actually spent money, because they say you buy an IRA, you buy a CD, cash deposit that is, not the kind of CD you listen to. So you buy those, and then you're spending the money on things that are making you money. And that's what you do in your consuming year. We all have one. It comes every 12 years. We also have a consuming month, and we also have consuming days. But, you know, you can get by with 1 month of expenses or 1 day of expenses. You can kind of tell when it's your consuming day. If you went out shopping and you came back with a carload of things you don't know why you bought, it was probably your consuming day.
And those are always good to know, because it's better to not be out shopping on your consuming day.
Exactly.
On that. And you know, there's all these little pieces that really, as you start to learn the flow of these things and you start to understand they're working with each other, is so powerful. Because, you know, here again, people look at it and say, why? It comes back to this knowledge base of, if you know what to do, you can fix it. We all have the knowledge there. We just may not have it consciously, or we may not have connected with it to fully understand it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here again, these just small things in here. So, PK, what are maybe some of the basics that people need to pay attention to for feng shui? Are there just some real basics there?
Well, yes. When you're arranging your bed, measure the width by 3 and the depth by 3, and those where those imaginary lines are, you don't want your body sitting on one of those lines, divided between any of the outer 8 boxes. The inside box, kind of the, like, remember the show Hollywood Squares and Whoopi was in the middle? So in the middle inside box, you can cross the lines that make that middle inside box, but the outer 8 boxes, if your body is crossing one of those lines, you're having health problems wherever it's crossing your body, whether it be at your hips, your knees, your ankles, or across the top of your head, because sometimes the dividing line is a few feet from the top of the bed. So that's causing health problems in that part of the body. You want to get your body all inside of one section of that 9-section grid. And you also don't want the dividing line saying, oh, well, we can have a king-size bed and have it run between the two of us, because that will cause relationship problems. Had one client, as we were pushing their bed off that energy grid line, she says, no wonder my husband and I have said it's like we're sleeping in the same bed in different rooms. I had another client who was a well-known builder in the Chicago area, and he had built this wonderful home and had divorced three wives before his daughter called me out there to feng shui all the houses on their property, and we had to move his bed. Although it wasn't lined up between the two beautiful windows anymore, at least it wasn't in a position where it was going to cause him to have another divorce. So that's what's important there. Also, the same thing goes with exposed beams. You don't want exposed beams going between, coming down between your pillows or across your body. Because let's say you're laying in bed and you look up and there's an exposed beam going from head to toe above your body. Well, you have a problem that the doctors can't figure out, or you just keep getting different problems in your body because you've got an energy chopping you. Because on the sides of the beams, that chi that's flowing around, the air currents, picture the air currents floating through your room, they're circulating, they get up to the, and they hit the side of that beam and they take a nosedive on you like a double-bladed guillotine. So that's why you don't want to be underneath exposed beams, especially when you're sleeping or when you're sitting up working, or those coffered ceilings. They call them coffered, some of them call them tray ceilings. So I call them recessed ceilings, where the ceiling is lower for about a foot around the room, and then it goes up higher in the middle, and it causes a ledge on there just the same as one side of one beam. So if you're under that, you're also getting chopped. My sister in her home has one of those in her living room, and when she lays back in a recliner, it was chopping her. I said, you got to move your recliner so you're not laying back underneath that thing. I had another client that an energy grid line was doing that to him in his man cave, and when he laid back in his recliner, it was always chopping right where his back injury wouldn't heal. So his wife was like, honey, we're moving that recliner. And then his back injury healed.
So that's on an angled ceiling, even if there isn't exposed beams.
Oh, you're talking about a pitch ceiling? A pitch ceiling and it has one beam in the middle, I say give it a flat top. Just flatten off that top in the middle, kind of like they took the top off the pyramid on the dollar bill. Just flatten off the top of it so the beam is now enclosed in the ceiling, behind the ceiling. If you have exposed beams, you can either put in a regular flat ceiling, or on the bottom of the beams, you can put, this is the least expensive way, you can put molding on both sides to deflect the chi. Just like on the tray ceilings, you can put molding on the bottom, the very bottom, the part that is lower and closer to the floor before it starts going up to the higher part of the ceiling. At that very bottom, you have the molding come out farther and then taper in to meet the wall, so that when the chi comes up and hits that and starts to try and come down on you, it's like a opposite ski slope, and it makes the chi deflect and not come down on you, at least the part that's over your bed if you happen to have those in your bedroom. And I suggest to most of my clients not to do that, but I've had a few that's the only way the builder would build a house, so they had to go in and put the molding at the very bottom of it. If anybody needs a picture, email me. I can send you some photos of that. But an exposed beam, so you picture the beam coming down, and usually they're about 4 to 6 inches wide. So you get a board. It doesn't matter if it's an eighth inch thick or a half inch thick. It just needs to be at least 1 inch wider on each side than the beam. So say the beam is 6 inches wide, you get a board that is 8 inches wide. You paint them to match the beams before you put them up. And you put them across the bottom of the beam, every beam from wall to wall, so that all the beams have this little 1-inch lip sticking out on the sides that creates a deflects the chi so it doesn't come straight down on you. That's the way to have the beams not hurt you. One of the most unusual feng shui requests I ever had was someone hired me to feng shui their horse barn. They had show horses, and the pet communicator said, the reason why the horses don't like going to this one, this trainer that's closer to you versus the other trainer that's far away, is they don't like their stalls. And so the horse trainer said, you should get their stalls feng shui. They found me, and I went out there, and the problem was that in those horse stalls there were exposed beams that were chopping across the horse's back. And no wonder he didn't feel comfortable in there. So I told him, just sneak in there when the owners aren't here. If you match the boards the same color, because they said they didn't think they would let him do it. I said, just see if you can get in there and do it when no one's watching and put those up there to deflect the chi from your horse's back or find a different trainer.
Wow.
That's the most. That's my funniest feng shui story.
Oh, my gosh. That's, you know, and there's just all these things, again, that we just don't tend to think about on a day-to-day basis, how much is affecting us, how much is influencing us. And when we look around and start to learn some of these things, it's like, oh, okay, that explains that, or that makes sense, or, yeah, I could do a shift there. Now, I've heard of some things out there where you shouldn't have, for example, the feet of your bed pointed into a closet or pointed into a toilet or something like that. Or did those types of things play in as well to the work you're doing, or are those not as important as some of these other things?
Closet doesn't matter unless you have mirrored closet doors. Then the mirrored closet doors need to be taken down or covered up. And I've had people use window privacy film to attach to it that's static that they can take off if they're just renting or if they ever want to sell the house. I've had people replace the doors. I've had people take them off and put a curtain up instead. If you can see into your bathroom from your bed or your entrance, you want to keep that bathroom door closed or just open a few inches. We call it ajar, so you don't look straight into there. This goes back to when we didn't have indoor restrooms, we had chamber pots. You wouldn't want your guests to walk in and see the chamber pot, empty or used, sitting next to the door. You wouldn't want to roll over in your bed and find the chamber pot. That's why they made little cabinets where you put them inside of them. So same thing goes with our bathrooms. No matter how often we clean them and what products we use, they're still the least sanitary room of the house. You don't want that close to where you're sleeping. When we sleep, we have many different qis in Chinese medicine, and one of our qis in Chinese medicine is called the Hun Qi, and that relaxes when is a protective qi that relaxes when we're sleeping. That's why we're more susceptible to drafts and germs and things in our sleep. So that's why we don't want to be able to look into a bathroom from our bed, and we don't want to have the restroom door wide open from an entrance into our home or our business. So that's the only thing about a bathroom. It doesn't matter about your drains in the bathroom, because who makes money in their bathrooms? A plumber. He makes money in yours, not his. Nobody makes money in their bathroom. The bathroom has nothing to do with your wealth except for if you get sick and you can't make any money. So that's why you want to keep your bathrooms clean and the door closed if you can see it from where you're laying down in your bed.
Okay. So if you've got a wall between you and the bathroom, not
nope.
really a big deal.
No, and I hear people say, I shouldn't have my head against the wall with the bathroom on the other side of it. That's what the wall's for. Your head's not towards the bathroom if there's a wall between you. It doesn't matter what's going on the other side of the wall. Now, in feng shui, 5,000 years ago, we didn't have EMFs. We didn't have electromagnetic frequencies. So if you've got one of these new electrical meters that's bad for you, maybe you don't want to have your bedroom near where that is on the, outside your bedroom wall, or you want to get some EMF 21st century protection for that. But that's not part of the classical feng shui, although I take care of my health in many ways. I have EMF neutralizers throughout my house, so I'm not affected by those. I actually wear one. But it's not part of the traditional feng shui remedies because electricity wasn't around. The other thing in your bed that a lot of the books talk about, not having your feet pointing to the bedroom door. Well, that is true. You don't want to be in line with any open doorway, whether you're laying down sleeping or sitting up working, because the chi funnels through that door, and it's like somebody's punching you the entire time you're sitting there or laying there. It's called a direct hit of chi. It's the same thing as the beam, but only coming at you from the side and at a wider punch. So you want to either move your bed out from in line with the door so you can, if you want to leave your door open, or you close your door when you're in bed or when you're sitting at your desk. or you just keep it ajar. One time in where my sister used to live, she had to have her headboard to the wall that the door opened right there next to her bed, because that was the only supportive direction for her date of birth. So she slept with the door just ajar, but she has a small dog that would not let her have the bedroom door closed and would open it if it was just ajar. So she took her running shoes and put it on either side of the door at night so the dog couldn't open it, and it would be ajar just enough that he could get in, and the chi came in with him but circulated around the room and didn't come straight in and hit her. The other thing about doors, you don't want two openings in line with each other. It doesn't matter if it's two doors or a door and a window or two windows. If you have two openings in line with each other from the outside or actually inside of one room too, the chi can't linger there. So it's like the money comes in with the chi and goes straight out. I had one client that in the room she used as for her office at her house, it had two doors directly in line with each other. One went to the hallway, one went into the kitchen. And she worked with those both all the time open until I said, no, one has to be closed. Doesn't mean you can't use it, but every time you go through it, you close it behind you, because that allows the chi to come in through one and circulate and remain in the room, so there's energy in there to support you to get things done. And you don't take your work out to your dining room table and do it all the time because you just don't feel supported by your office.
Wow. So, okay, so as long as one is closed off,
yes. Yeah, so if you have a shotgun kind of house, that's what they call it, where you have a door, two doors to the outside in line with each other, I say if Robin Hood could shoot an arrow through your house, then you've got a feng shui problem. But if you close the door or you close the window, then the arrow couldn't go through, so the air currents aren't going through, and you don't have that problem.
Okay, so see, there's one simple thing. You know, if you've got your money element and you've got a door that opens up and you can look right out a window, shut that door.
It's when they're both open. So if the window's closed when the door's open, not a problem. If the door's closed when the window's open, not a problem. Or if one, like the slider door, is closed when the front door is open, not a problem. If it's the side of the slider that's called fixed or the stationary side, you don't have a problem because it's not whether you can look through it. It's whether the air currents could go through. And it's a perfect example of talking about Robin Hood shooting the arrow through it because it flies through the air.
Okay, so it's not just being able to look through it. It's actually whether you have an air current that goes through it.
Yes, because feng shui means wind and water, and nobody wants water flowing through their house.
Okay.
You want the air to circulate, but not to flow straight through it. And in your yard, if you're on a busy street and the traffic goes by a lot, you have a lot of traffic going by, you want at least a waist-high hedge or solid fence, whether it be of wood or stone, but solid hedge or fence to hold the chi in your yard, because the traffic is pulling the chi out of your yard. It's pulling the air currents out as it goes by. If you're in a normal residential street and it's not very busy, then it's okay. But if you're on a very busy street, then the chi is flowing and taking it away. You know, on a commercial street, there's nothing you can do about that. But in a residential area, if you're on the main route into your neighborhood, you might want to consider that. If you have a steep slope, the same thing goes, to hold the chi in on your property so it can give you a nice hug and support you instead of rolling down the hill and taking your money with it. You want to have a hedge or a solid fence around to hold the chi in your yard. I have many people that are in the Hollywood Hills and the other hills around the L.A., Orange County area, and they're like, but wait a minute, I don't want to give up my view. So if you don't want to give up your view off the steep slope, then you can use plexiglass. Many of those people already have an iron fence around there to keep the wildlife out, but they can just attach plexiglass all the way down to the ground that's at least waist high to hold the chi, the air currents, in their property so their money is not flowing out, and so they can pay for this home with a beautiful view.
Wonderful, wonderful aspect there.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. So a lot of what we run into also, I would say, when we're looking kind of on some of the exterior aspects, how much influence does, for example, neighbors have or construction that's going on? You know, say maybe you've got an empty lot and then all of a sudden that's sold and now people are building on that. Is, you know, how much does that type of thing affect us?
Well, we can't control our neighbors, so that's one thing. I know there are some folk beliefs in some of the books about what you can do for your neighbor, and those are all nonsense. The only thing you can do is maybe suggest they get feng shui too, so they use the remedies to fix their house. If your houses aren't built in the same time period, then they have a different energy than you have, or if it's oriented and on a curve on the road, they have a different energy combination. But if someone comes and starts building, or if they start re-roofing next door or remodeling or digging up the backyard for a swimming pool, every year there are certain directions where we want to avoid digging or construction, anything that's disturbing Mother Nature. And if it's in any of these directions outside of your house, in close enough that you hear it and it, you know, bothers you, then you want to put metal between your house and that construction. Whether it could be, maybe if it's across the street, it's a vehicle parked between your house and the construction. If it's not across the street, maybe it's metal lawn furniture or your barbecue that's uncovered. It can't be underneath plastic because the air current wouldn't be touching the metal. Or it could be metal wind chimes hung from the rafters or hung on what's called a shepherd's hook. That's that hook you stick in the ground, and most people hang flowering baskets or something on it. You can stick it in the ground and hang wind chimes on them and move them around as you might need them. If you get wind chimes, they have to be made of metal, and the rods have to be at least as long as your forearm. So think 12, 15-inch long rods. It doesn't matter how thick they are. I like to get the ones that are tuned to notes so they sound beautiful when they make their noise instead of an irritating clang, because no one wants to give yourself or your neighbors a headache. And then you put them out between your house and the digging or construction in these directions starting February 4th, 2014 to February 4th, 2015. Those directions are all three of the directions with the word north in it. So northeast, north, and northwest, and also south, because those are the directions that we don't want to do digging or construction this year. If you have a house that's oriented in that direction, we call it the sitting direction of the house. It's the private side of the house, the side opposite the view. If that direction is in the middle of that side of your house, then you really want to try and avoid doing construction inside your home this year. But if you have to, then you should pick a good date to start that construction and make sure you put metal in those sections. Say you have a bathroom in the northeast that has a plumbing problem this year and they have to come in and break through the walls or something, well, then you want to go ahead and stick metal in there while the construction's going on. Or say you have a problem with something in the south part of your house that you have to get repaired this year, then you want to stick metal in there while the construction's going on. And that's for every home out there for this 1 year. Metal wind chimes are only used in this instance. They are never used inside for a metal remedy. They don't look good in any decor. They can actually cause problems depending on the style of the metal wind chime, and they are just not appropriate inside a house because, after all, the wind is not supposed to be inside the house. That's what we build our house to protect us from. So the chimes go outside, not inside the house.
Very good information there. I think that's an important factor where we are looking at, you know, something that we can do when we can't control people around us and what they're going to do. But as you say, there are these fixes, there are these little things that we can do, and, you know, and sometimes you've got to do something and it happens to be in one of these directions. So knowing that, hey, if I put some metal up here, then that's going to make a difference for me.
Yeah, this is just for digging or construction. There is a fifth direction, but this one cannot be remedied with metal, and it applies to if a woman in the house is pregnant or attempting to get pregnant. So the entire time she's pregnant or while she's trying to get pregnant during this year, there should be no construction or digging in the east, inside or outside the house. If that happens, she should go stay somewhere else. because it will affect the pregnancy and could even cause a miscarriage.
Oh, wow. Okay. And you know, now I know that each person has, you know, their different directions that are favorable or unfavorable for them. In the signs, in most places, they'll say that you're an earth element person or a wood element person or a metal person or that sort of thing. And there's most people, if they're reading on feng shui, they're going to find constructive and destructive elements for them. If somebody's destructive element was metal, is it still good for them to be using metal?
You still have to remedy the energies, even if, for instance, I'm one of the wood trigrams, because there are two wood trigrams, two metal trigrams, and two earth trigrams, and then there's the water and the fire trigrams. That makes the eight trigrams. I am one of the wood trigrams. So for me, wearing wood colors, any shade of green that looks good on my skin tone is good for me. Also wearing water colors, blues and blacks, because that's the water that feeds my trigram's element. If I wear metal colors, that chops me, because metal chops wood, so that's the one that they call dominating. So I don't want to wear the element that dominates me. But metal is a remedy for the energies of the house, and the energies of the house are much more powerful than I am, so I still have to remedy the energies of the house. I wouldn't suggest a person get a bedroom that is always going to have metal or even more what we call heavy metal in their bedroom all the time, unless that metal is actually good for their element, like maybe they're the water element, because metal makes water stronger. Now, what you might be referring to as the destructive would be the reductive, what I call the reductive element, because for me that would be fire, because wood fuels the fire, but the fire burns off the wood. So when I wear fire colors, it's like, oh, look at me, get attention, but I don't wear them for long. So if I'm giving a lecture, I may wear red or purple because it's like, here, all eyes on this, but it can burn off my energy very quickly, so I won't leave it on all day, or I'll mix it with, if I mix it with green, it makes it even stronger fire. So maybe I'll wear it for a little while and then switch to a different jacket or something.
Okay.
I had one client whose son was the fire trigram, and his school uniform was blue, and he could not wear anything else to school, so he was wearing water all day long that was putting out his fire. So his mom went out and got him red underwear. So he knew he had his red underwear on. It made him feel better, but we made sure that the house was supporting him as much as possible, too. So as soon as he got home, man, he was eager to get out of that uniform.
Wow. So this is good to know, because this is something that I think gets very confusing in a lot of things. And I'm just really loving your format. I have to say it's resonating so much stronger with me than other things that I've seen out there in feng shui. So we are coming up here in a couple of days, entering the year of the horse, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
What does that mean for us, and what do we need to focus on or pay attention to with the year of the horse?
Well, this year, it's never a good idea to have thorns around your house or broken things, especially things that are like made of glass that's broken, like a crack in a window or a piece broken out of something that's glass, or cracks. Cracks could be in the concrete, could be in the walkway of the concrete. It could be in a wall, whether it be the inside or outside the house, whether it be part of a retaining wall. So cracks. And anything broken, whether it be cracks or glass or thorns in certain positions from year to year, can cause us problems. And there's two different kinds of problems it can cause. One causes a splitting apart, and that can be of a relationship or of your skin, which involves bleeding from cuts or surgery. And this year, it's called the injury direction, and this year that will be the east direction from the house. So if you look where magnetic east is, not what the map says is east, because in different parts of the country and the world, east is found in a different, magnetic east is found different than what the map shows. Because our maps show us what's called true north. In Southern California, magnetic north is 12.5 degrees to the east of that, from what our maps show us. So you have to find out where these magnetic directions are. If you use a compass app on your phone, make sure you get an app that you can, and you can use the option and switch it to magnetic, and then calibrate it by waving it the way it tells you to, and then you can find out where magnetic north and south and east and west are. So east is the direction where thorns and broken things can cause anyone this year injuries that can involve bleeding or split up a relationship. There's also a direction called the marriage direction, and the annual location of the marriage direction is in the west. So those are the two opposite directions. They happen to be opposite this year. That only happens every few years. So it happens to be the west this year, and that can cause marital problems if you have thorns or broken glass or wall cracks there, whether it be from the inside or outside. So you find the tic-tac-toe grid of the main floor of your house, and that's the floor that has the living room and kitchen on it. And then you find the magnetic center. So that's going to be the center of that center square. And then from there, you would find where magnetic north is. And then you can locate magnetic east and west. And then follow those lines out through the house, out through your property. And that's where you want to avoid inside and outside thorns, broken glass, broken cracks, or anything else broken. Now, it's not like your grandmother's music box. It still doesn't play the music, but it still looks beautiful. It's, if you can see that it's actually broken, then it would be something you'd want to get out of that direction. Each one of us has our own injury and marriage directions that we also would like to be able to look at. So that's what I look at on someone's chart when I'm looking at their date of birth. I'm creating one page that describes all their directions to them, shows them all the degrees they are and explains them all. And another page is the diagram that is actually a compass with all the directions labeled with their degrees, and it has the personal labels on there for how the different directions affect you. For instance, my lonely pillow, which keeps me single, is in the exact same position of a direction called my valued friends, which brings me people who support my efforts and could send me referrals. So if I opened a window there, it would keep me, or a door, especially a door, any what's called a chi mouth where the air currents come in. So if I opened anything there, it could bring me lots of friends and referrals, but it would make me stay single. So if my choice is I prefer to be single, that's great. If I'm looking for a relationship, I'd want to pass on having that thing help me with friends and referrals.
So, and you mentioned magnetic, but then you also talked about the grid. And I know that some places, are those different then?
Well, the grid of the house is taking the dimensions of your floor plan, dividing the width by 3 and the depth by 3, and that tells us where the different energy combinations are. So the energy combinations is in the 9-section tic-tac-toe type grid. The personal directions are going to be according to where magnetic north is and going in 15-degree increments. That's not about the energies of the house. That's about where your personal directions would be located.
Okay, so they're two different things.
Yes. So
okay.
When I do a consultation with someone, they're going to have two grids on the same floor plan, and I show them that these grid lines show you where the remedies go, but the one that looks like a starburst or a compass diagram on the top of it, that's strictly talking about you and your family's personal directions.
Okay. Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
This is, and that's where a lot of things get confusing for people too, as I see. We're starting to wind down here, but PK, so I wanted to give you a few minutes here to also share with people, how do they contact you? Do you have any events coming up or anything like that? Do you have anything that they can participate in with you, or how do they find all of your stuff?
Okay, I'm at fengshuiadvantage.com. That's spelled F as in Frank, E-N-G, S as in sugar, H-U-I, advantage.com. And they can find my schedule on there where it will say some seminars and classes. It will be updated on Tuesday to show the live classes I'll be teaching in Sherman Oaks, California on March 1st is beginning class, March 2nd is intermediate, and the following weekend is two-day advanced class. I occasionally do teleseminars, much like this interview, but I also have some upcoming home shows that as soon as they're confirmed, they will go on that seminars and classes page of my website. And anyone who takes classes from me will receive a certificate just as if they took the classes offered online through the American Feng Shui Institute. Some people prefer to take classes live. Either way, if you take the online classes, you'll be studying with me, and you can come and review the classes live for a fee because you'll be taking up one of the seats, but you can come and review the classes live after taking them online, or you can just wait and take them live with me. And if they just want to find out their personal directions on my website under Personal Directions Report, that will explain to them, it'll list all the personal directions and explains to them about the toolbox that you mentioned that I have created earlier.
Okay. So that's good. So those will be getting posted in a couple of days for the classes.
Yes.
That are going on, and then the
yes.
toolboxes. I know
and
that
I
you've got all of services listed there online. And,
yes, my services. Yeah, my consulting services are also listed there, and everything is detailed. I don't I don't say call for an estimate. My pricing is all up front. And I was going to say that the classes have a 20% discount, but there is a limited number of seats for the classes. So if they want to take the classes, they should sign up for my newsletter, and then they'll get an announcement as soon as everything's set up where I can they can get enrolled on the classes. That should be live by this time next week. But if they go on my website and sign up for my newsletter in the left-hand column, they will get 16 weeks of free feng shui tips every issue of my newsletter when it comes out, and notices when I'm going to have an appearance or a live class.
Awesome. I'm most excited. My head is ticking. Going, okay, she's just given me so much of information here and so much that I'm thinking about. And definitely, as you mentioned before, people can go in and get their trigram. They just need to put trigram in the subject line of an email, and that goes to pk@fengshuiadvantage.com. And they need to include in there their first name, their gender, and their full date of birth, which reminds me of a quick question I'll throw in here, too. Does it make a difference in the work that you do if somebody has legally changed their name along the way?
No, the name is just so I can address it to them and know who I'm talking to. It's just the gender and the date of birth. I haven't had anybody that's changed their gender yet, so... But it's just the gender and the date of birth. It's just nice to be able to say, Mary, these are your personal directions, and then also the date of birth. I don't need the time unless the person was born on February 4th or 5th, because then I need to see which side of the new year they were born on to see which trigram they are.
Okay, so you don't actually take into account the name change factors.
No.
A lot of people do that, but you don't.
No, feng shui doesn't do that. Chinese astrology doesn't do that. If you're talking numerology, which I studied long before I knew what feng shui was, numerology is why the name makes a difference. It's why husbands will go, you're not the woman I married. Well, if she took your name, she's not.
She's not. Because I run that with some of the astrology things. I do go by name change dates as opposed to date of birth, especially if it's been at least 7 years, and there. Okay, so that's good to know.
Yeah.
Perfect. I just want to thank you so much for being here. I mean, I appreciate the volume of information you've shared. You've given some very solid tips, and certainly I encourage anybody, if they've missed any part of this show, go back and listen to it in the archives, because PK has just been a wealth of information tonight for us, and I encourage you to sign up because these feng shui tips that she's going to be providing in newsletters definitely can make a huge difference in your life. You know, it's a huge piece of your life there. And is there any last little piece that you want to tie up before we get into
our... I want to go back in the bathroom for a minute. The one thing you want to do in your bathroom is close the lid when you flush. And I've been talking about this long before Dr. Oz started talking about it and showing his simulations on his TV show. The toilet lid needs to be flushed to keep the germs in the bowl, so it's not they're not going 6 feet or farther away from your toilet bowl and contaminating your towels, your toothbrushes, your makeup jars, and everything else in your bathroom with things called fecal dust. So it's about closing your lid to keep the sanitation good in your bathroom. And it also then brings more harmony in the house because if everybody in the house is closing the lid for sanitation, nobody's arguing about what's going on with the seat.
Exactly. And I know some of the other forums said that you do that to avoid money issues.
It has nothing to do with your money. It has to do with your health.
But the sanitation factor is it. Okay. And that is a difference. You know, like having something clean, it makes a difference how your mind thinks, how it processes things. You know, how you're feeling and whether you're in light or heavy.
When I'm talking to an audience with men there sitting next to their wives, I say, if you have trouble remembering to close the lid before you flush, just picture your toothbrush in the bottom of the bowl because if you're flushing with the lid up and your toothbrush is within 6 feet of your toilet, it's getting fecal dust on it.
Wow. Okay, there's a graphic.
Yeah.
That'll get those men to put the lid down.
Exactly.
On things. PK, thank you so very, very much for your time. I greatly appreciate it. And I think I'm going to have you back because I feel like there's just so much that maybe we haven't even touched on yet and so many different things that we could focus on with you that would be amazing to do. So I definitely am going to have you on my list of people to bring back in the future.
It would be my pleasure.
Wonderful. And again, we've got the contact information at the bottom of the show and everything for how to contact PK, and I encourage you to go and look around her website and, you know, check things out. There's so much more on there than what we could get covered here tonight. With that and definitely share the show with others and let others come in and get these tips and find out about our work as well. Next week on the show, I'm going to have Bill Farr, and he's going to be discussing his work in the power of personality types in relationships. So this is going to be a really interesting show. He's, for those of you, whether you're single or with somebody or anything like that, it's important to know these personality types and to find out what that's all about. Again, I've got 4 books out on the market right now, and certainly you can find out more about those, and you can purchase them through my website at jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com, and the most recent being You, Me, Life, Dreams, and its companion workbook, and it's designed to help you activate the perfect relationship for you, and you'll learn about how to find, develop, and maintain your perfect relationship, and you'll learn how to understand what your partner is thinking, feeling, needing, and how to communicate in ways that strengthen your relationship and avoid the drama, which is, I think, always a good thing to do and if you want something to be successful. I'm working on putting together several events for 2014, by the way, and I actually just opened up today, released 8 events on my event site, so you can go in and check those out at jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And those are based around astrological things, moon cycles, planetary alignments, seasons of the year, the whole shebang in there. And they're going to be a lot of fun, a lot of interesting things, and kind of catered into, you know, whatever is happening at that time of the event. So they're going to be a little open, a little flexible, and bringing in a little bit of activity. They're going to be a more interactive, participatory sort of event in there, and there will be 1- and 2-day options on that, so you can check those out. Again, at jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And I also put on my website, you'll find things like connecting with my blog, purchasing products, both mine, things from guests that we've had, services that I offer, ways to connect with me, archived and upcoming shows. I put out video tips every month. So you can check all those things out through my website at jessieannicholsgeorge1.com. And there's a great section on there for Main Street Universe, by the way, where you can follow all of our hosts and catch upcoming shows as well as all of our archive shows and learn a little bit about the people that are part of Main Street Universe. So that's a great thing there. Now, February special deal here that we have, I've got some brand new work that is being done now in angel insights and healing. And this work is going to be really wonderful for helping you identify and get clarity on what you need to be doing, get focused, handle what is challenging you, make changes, even overcome physical difficulties, helping us move beyond what is heavy or unpleasant or uncomfortable in our lives. And everyone has multiple angels. They're ready, they're willing, and they're waiting to help us. And these sessions are actually going to help you with all of your challenges and frustrations by providing insights. Oftentimes in these readings, I will be using different things with that, and I can share with you. Sometimes it's including birth dates or legal name change dates or numbers on a street address, things like that, that help us hone in to the angel energies that you have available to you. And well, as looking at patterns and other things that come up that allow me to see what angels are operating in your life, and that helps us to focus in on things for you, as well as doing, like I said, some healing energy with that as well. And it's about getting the healing, the balancing, the forward momentum running in your situation, in your life, and bringing you back into divine truth and presence and getting out of the distortion areas. So even if you're simply making changes with no issues, it's good to have angels bless us in those ventures and decisions and moves and guide us in the choices that we're making. So I also have online courses going on around the moon cycles. I have one coming up actually this Sunday night. It's actually kind of in the middle of the night, midnight Sunday going into Monday where I am. And that is going to be for the turn of the seasons, which happens to be the solar Chinese New Year going on, as well as the various other things, as some people call it Candlemas or Imbolc. It'll be a little honoring of that. I incorporate meditation ceremonies and things in that. Don't forget, we've got several shows here on Main Street Universe throughout the week. Sunday nights, Darren Bouquer, who's a reader at Madame Laveau in New Orleans, doing spiritual insights. Monday nights is Kevin Baird walking on the sidewalk with his Horizon Oracle Journeys deck, a deck he created, which you can learn more about on his website at templeofgaia.com. And Kevin's been alternating a little bit, checking out Mondays and Fridays, so you could find him either or possibly both nights. Tuesdays is Susan Weed, who is sharing her work in herbs and natural plants. Wednesdays we have our flagship show, Daniel, Janice, and Brett, and they're covering a variety of different things there. Thursdays is Queen Mother Amaku, who looks at Egyptian culture. And, of course, Friday nights is Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. This is Jessie Ann Nichols George. I want to thank you so much for being here tonight. And, again, thank you to all of our listeners, not only on Blog Talk Radio, but also those streaming live on Penn or Parent Encounters Network, StreamFinder, and TalkStream Live, as well as those catching our podcast at iTunes and TuneIn.com, and also those catching the YouTube version of our show. I look forward to seeing you back here next week as we delve more into activating compassion. Don't forget that if you've enjoyed my show this evening, share it with others. It's going to be available at this same link in our archives, and I'm going to leave you tonight with the song Yearning For. It's by Shemshai. And thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you again next week right here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. May you enjoy the rest of your weekend and have an amazing week. And maybe we'll close out here tonight in a second. Well, normally we have music by Shem Shai.
If I could see what makes me blind, I would soar to the edge of my mind, and to touch what seems unreal, just to show you the way that I feel. And we are in time with time. of change inside. And we are in tune with the tune, caught in a balance of sun and moon. Oh, deep inside, the light within, shining to show you it's here to begin. When all I have is all I need, I will soar to the edge of eternity. And we see in eye to eye, one within love to be for the divine. And we're walking hand in hand, caught in the balance of God and learning to walk just a little bit slower. Whispering secrets, I bet you can't keep it. No turning back now, this time we reveal it. One to another, all we'll discover, the essence within the most beautiful lover. Time is still turning, the love is still burning. Deep in your spirit, your heart is still yearning. Deep in your spirit, your heart is still yearning for.